Right, so here we have it. We're going to now look at where this election stands. According to the projections coming in from Anadolu News Agency, the official state news agency, it does definitely look like now we can say Recep Tayyip Erdoğan, the president of Turkey, has won this election. He's projected at 52.18%. Kemal Kılıçdaroğlu, the opposition challenger, 47.82%. So based on that, we can say that Recep Tayyip Erdoğan is the winner. He's in the pole position for these elections. This is quite a development in the career of Recep Tayyip Erdoğan. We can continue this discussion with our guest who we've got standing by live for us, Ali.
Hello.
Çakıroğlu, good to have you with us from Koç University. So it looks like indeed we have a winner, right?
Well, most likely the official results will also follow. And what's most striking here is that Erdoğan, despite the economic crisis, despite the two massive earthquakes, was still able to maintain its basis of support. The character of that support is clearly conservative, and it means a continuation of policies that Erdoğan has followed, has been following. So the big issue now is, if there is going to be a continuation, how are they going to handle the country's economic situation and the foreign policy challenges?
All right.
So those are the issues now I think we need to discuss, because the elections are behind us.
All right, but before we start looking at that, can we ask the question of what did it for Erdoğan yet again? As you said, there were some who had their skepticism because of the earthquake,
sure,
because of the economic situation. What helped him to clinch it yet again?
Well, the central Anatolian provinces clearly are looking for his leadership, his charisma, and a following of his conservative stance. And he clearly reflected that stance in his choices of alliance members, in Hüdapar and Yeniden Refah, clinched that that vision of a conservative alliance together with the nationalists. And it clearly convinced the central Anatolian provinces. The geography of Turkish election results appear to be completely unchanged. The coastal regions and the Kurdish-dominated southeastern Anatolia regions are still supporting Kılıçdaroğlu, but the rest of the country is predominantly in excess of 60% in many provinces are supporting Erdoğan. And that's an unbeatable.
So we've got to ask also this question: what went wrong for the opposition? Because they made a big push to try and break out of those typical areas you mentioned.
Well, they don't have much credibility, obviously. Their appeal for nationalists themes came too little, too late in the last few days of the campaign. And they relied predominantly on this economic crisis idea, which did not convince the voters, because they still looked for a credible, charismatic leader who can actually provide for an alternative way out of this economic crisis, whereas the opposition candidate doesn't have anything to show for establishing that credibility in the eyes of the voters.
And what does this tell us about the issue of the nationalist camp?
Well, the nationalist camp was influential since 2018, but it is split into 3-4 parties now. And what remained on the opposition camp is the weaker players in that camp. And the Nationalist Action Party, I think, will continue to pressure Erdogan on issues related to the Kurdish conflict and relations with the West and European Union negotiations. We forget, but Turkey is still in negotiation phase. And we are yet to see how Erdogan is going to shape those policies without alienating the nationalist voters and the leadership.
Is this the end of the road for Kemal Kılıçdaroğlu? This is not the first time he's gone up against Erdogan in an election.
Well, I should be careful here. This is, on all counts, ninth or tenth loss for him, and that's not going to help him maintain the party organization together. Most likely, the party will go into a fierce infighting.
Because they were already on shaky ground,
of course, yes.
Even before these elections started, right? And even during the elections.
Right after the first round.
There was a bit of finger-pointing.
They basically sacked their campaign managers. So the new campaign managers ran the last 10 days of the election campaign for them, which is obviously not a winning strategy, and they are suffering because of it.
All right, thanks so much, Ali Çakıroğlu, for talking to us. Let's take this now to the presidential palace. We've got Resul Sardar standing for us live there. So are they celebrating tonight?
Indeed, Sami. So here there is a celebration now on the way. We see that now thousands of Erdogan's supporters, President Erdogan's supporters, are already gathered in front of the presidential palace in Ankara. There is a loud music, and it's a celebration. It's almost like a festival, this festival place now that is happening in front of the presidential palace. And they're waiting for their leaders. President Erdogan also is expected to, in hours, to arrive to Ankara and to come to the presidential palace and deliver a speech to his supporters and also to the nation as well. This is quite unusual because so far Erdogan has been delivering his speech, traditional balcony speech, from the headquarters of his party, AK Party. But this time he decided to do that in the presidential palace. So it hasn't been an easy race for President Erdogan. There were lots of odds there, and the economy was definitely struggling. One of the highest inflations in the world, skyrocketing prices, and also on the top of that, we have seen a natural disaster. One of the biggest natural disasters in the history of the nation has hit the country, the twin earthquakes that hit the southeastern part of Turkey almost around 4 months ago. 13 million people have been affected. More than 50,000 people have died and hundreds of thousands injured. So tens of thousands of the buildings were either collapsed or heavily damaged. So despite all of that, he could keep the momentum and convince the nation that he is still the best politician that can deliver on the promises. He convinced his supporters that he can rebuild the country, and he convinced the nation that he can recover the economy. On the other hand, for the opposition, it has been a failure as of now, because despite all of that odds, they failed to convince the majority of Turks that they are better than Erdogan, that they are better in a better position to deliver. So this time the hopes were quite high for them, because for the first time we have seen such a broad coalition that was formed in Turkey. Six parties, they came together with different approaches, with different ideological backgrounds, but one of the main motivation for them was to bring Erdogan down. And they came together, they prepared a roadmap. And also they have chosen the Kemal Kılıçdaroğlu, the opposition leader, as their unity leader. So the hopes were very, very high. But in the first round, you have seen that he received 44.9% of the votes, while Erdogan got 49.5% of the votes. So he led roughly around by 5 points in the first round. And for the second round, another race has started. So it was the first time in the nation's history that we have witnessed the second round. So there hasn't been any runoff before in the nation's history. So this was the first one. And that's why it was quite difficult to predict how is going to be the reaction of the voters in this country, as it has never been tested before. But we have seen that Erdogan secured the majority of the votes. And according to presidential sources, for now, more than 96% of the votes are counted. He is still leading by something around 52%. So from now on, one of the main challenges for the opposition is definitely going to be how to keep the unity, because there are going to be lots of criticism. And particularly for Kemal Kılıçdaroğlu, it is going to be quite tough, because since assuming the office in 2010 on as the head of the leader of the People's Republican Party, he has lost several elections in this country. But this time, as he could galvanize all of that support of the opposition behind himself, it was expected that he could win. So he and his supporters have believed that. However, as I said, he has failed to secure the majority of the votes in the country. So that's why this election could potentially cost his political career. He wanted to go down in history as the one who defeated Erdogan, but that didn't happen in this election as well. So for President Erdogan, on the other hand, it's not going to be easy. There still the economy is in a crisis mood, and the disaster area still needs lots of investments, lots of work still waiting to be done there. So he's going to face basically the economical crisis, and also to deliver the houses, the accommodations for the people, the hundreds of thousands of people that have been affected there. So that is what he's also has been, by the way, through all of his presidential election campaign. He has been promising on that, a more powerful Turkey, a more assertive Turkey in the international arena. And he was saying that the next century is going to be Turkey's century, focusing on the mega projects and giving a dream to the nation. So apparently that rhetoric, that narrative has resonated with his supporters, and they have been convinced to vote for him. So Erdogan has been in politics since 4 decades. And in the last 2 decades, he has been the leader of the country, either as prime minister or as the president of the country, despite that long history, despite 21 years in power. We have seen that these elections have showed us that he's still the most popular politician in Turkey.